M202, June 119. Now may the Lord reveal his face and teach our stammering tongues to make his sovereign reigning grace the subject of our songs.
Thank you. I do not feel to be too well this evening, but I hope the Lord will help me to speak to you, and I would direct your minds to the prophecy of Amos, the 3rd chapter and the 3rd verse. The prophecy of Amos, chapter 3 and verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? This word has, I trust, been used of God in my own experience, and I hope the Lord has brought it to my mind today to venture to speak to you from this evening. But just one or two thoughts regarding my own experience in connection with this word, for it's such a true word, because it is something that is impossible for two to walk together if they are not agreed. There must be agreement if there's to be a walking together. And I well remember, you may have heard me say this before, but I remember going to Stone Chapel, a little village chapel in Kent in 1950, and going one Sunday evening without any real concern, without any concern regarding my soul, merely going to please my parents or parents. And of course going too because there were other young people. But you see, the Lord in his sovereign mercy, I believe, had intended that I should go. And the late Mr. Dawson took these words for his text. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And the Lord, I believe, applied that word to my heart in such a way that for the first time in my life, I was made to feel a concern regarding my soul and regarding the fact that I had not been walking in agreement with God. This was revealed to me. And I remember standing outside of my father's garage, put the van into the garage and standing there and praying for the first time in my life that the Lord would, in substance, that the Lord would have mercy upon me. And I believe the Lord from that day on began to deal with me, brought me into a concern. I might say this, brought me into a concern regarding a partner in life. And oh, how true this word is in connection with this. Oh, may the Lord look upon our young people today. May he look upon them in mercy. Some he has looked upon in mercy and granted to them, I believe, a God-given partner. Some of us have been the recipients of this great blessing. And yet how true it is in connection with the marriage union, can two walk together except they be agreed? Oh, how many have been left to go their own way and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But what a mercy to have been brought. I know in some cases the Lord is pleased afterward to fulfill his purposes. I would not discourage any, because there have been many that have come together without any concern. And yet the Lord has designed that they should be brought together. And the Lord in time has called them by grace. And yet at the same time it is a mercy for any young person to have a real concern that the Lord might give them a partner. And I can tell you this, that if the Lord has brought you to pray about this, the Lord will hear your cry. He will answer your prayer. And it will be, you will prove that it's been your mercy to know such an exercise. But the years went on, and the Lord dealt with me, brought me down, brought me in my soul's exercises to stand on the verge of eternity, brought me low, brought me off to pray that prayer, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face, realizing that thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. And that's an evidence of being born of the Spirit, if you know, if you've been shown, that salvation is of grace. But many years afterward, 18 years afterward, from that time in 1950 and 1968, I went into the same little chapel, and another servant of God was in the pulpit, and he took this same text. And I believe the Lord used it. The Lord spoke this word into my heart in connection with my venturing to serve the cause at Eastbourne with a view to the pastorate. And it was so powerful in my soul. It was in the year before I went there to serve them with that object in view. And I felt that Wednesday afternoon, well, this is just it. If we can't walk together in the things of God, if we cannot agree, then we cannot walk together. And I felt persuaded of this. And oh, the exercise of my heart, and as I went there to serve them during that 6 months, this was with me. And the exercise of my soul was this. I wanted the Lord to reveal, to make it known that we could walk together in the things of God. That we were of one heart and mind in the truth. And I believe that I had and have had the witness in my heart that this is so. And it's a blessed witness. So you will see that this word has been used of God in my own case. May the Lord help me to look at it this evening for a little while. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, in a personal way, as we are born into this world, we are found walking away from God. Walking away from him. The carnal mind is at enmity to God. And the word of God tells us this, that the natural mind cannot understand the things of God and how true it is, because they are spiritually discerned. But you you know, we find in the very early chapters of the Word of God, of one who walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Now, have we any evidence in our heart, in our souls, that this is ours? Have we been turned round in our lives? Have we been brought into a place and into a condition where our great concern has been and still is that we might walk with God, that we might walk in His way, that we might be found doing those things that please Him? There's a word, if I could find it in the prophecy of Isaiah, that I would just mention. I mentioned it in prayer this evening concerning the eunuchs, the eunuch and the stranger, the outcast. And there's a wonderful word in the prophecy of Isaiah concerning such souls. And here it is. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve Him and to love the name of the Lord and to be His servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. Now, can we come in at least with these desires? Do we see a blessedness in such things? We may feel to be so fruitless. We may feel to be but a stranger. Do remember that there are those in the Word of God that are spoken of. Why shouldest thou take knowledge of me, seeing I am but a stranger? And yet the Lord says concerning these, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Now, if we have been brought by the Spirit in any measure to truly walk with God, we shall indeed have been brought into these things, and it will have been made our desire. We shall want to be found in God's house. We shall want to hear His voice. We shall want the Lord to speak to us. And it will be this: say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Then it goes on, the Lord God which gathereth the outcasts of Israel saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. But oh, how solemn it is to be left to go on in our lives walking in disagreement with God, to walk as we were born without any concern, and to go on in a careless condition. We may be found under the sound of truth all our days and yet never be brought to take one step with God, and I say that reverently. Can two walk together except they be agreed? There needs to be that new heart and that new spirit put within, and then there will be the desire to walk with God in Christ. Then there will be the desire for the Spirit of God to be our teacher. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And if we, as we shall, if we have been born of the Spirit, we shall be innate, we shall look back, and if the Spirit enables us, as we look back, we shall see how, what solemn disagreement there was in our heart to the things of God. We shall know there was. We shall know by past experience that we had no heart for the things of God. We shall know by past experience that we were headlong urging our mad careers. But if we've been brought to trust in his name, if we've been brought to that place where we've had to say with the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner, if we've been brought to desire the knowledge of his ways, if we've been brought to breathe after holiness, then we have commenced to walk with God. What a mercy if this is so. Can two walk together except they be agreed? It's something that's impossible. But then I thought of two brothers in the Word of God. In fact, I thought of more than two. And I felt I must bring this before you this evening. It was Cain and Abel. Now they could never walk in agreement. They could never walk together because they weren't agreed. One brought of the fruits of the land. The other brought of the firstling of the flock. Now you see, none can truly walk together except they are agreed in this, that salvation is of God alone, not of works, lest any man should boast. You will always find that those that are satisfied with their works, their doings, and those that have been brought to realize that they've nothing of their own, You will always find that they could never walk together. See, to walk together, it means to go on together. And oh, how true it is. What concord can there be between that which is of the flesh and that which is of the Spirit? Those that are born of the Spirit, as soon as they are born again, there will commence a conflict within, so that there can never be agreement between those that are satisfied with a fleshly religion. And oh, how solemn it is that there are many that are satisfied with a fleshly religion. And if you meet with them, if you talk with them, you will soon know whether there's any agreement. And if you cannot agree with them, you would never be able to walk together. But then also think of Jacob and Esau. We know there was a solemn separation between them, that God himself, and of course we do desire to acknowledge the sovereignty of God in these things, and if through mercy we've been made to walk in agreement with God, it is through his sovereign mercy and grace. Those two brothers, they couldn't walk together because they weren't agreed. If you think of what went on in their life, think of those things that took place. We know that the Lord in his great mercy appeared for Jacob, and while he feared that his brother would slay him and his, We know that the Lord brought Esau to fall on his neck and kiss him. And yet they could never walk together because they weren't agreed. One desired to go his own way and the other desired to walk in the fear of God. We know, as it is with all God's people, they are sinners, and Jacob, like we are, was but a poor sinful man. But at least there was that within his heart. He did want the Lord to be with him. He was concerned about it, but Esau wasn't. We find this solemn word recorded about Esau. He found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. We need to understand that right. I have felt that perhaps many cannot understand that expression, but I believe it means that this was nothing to do with his salvation, but it was because Jacob had obtained the blessing. And he sought it carefully with tears, as he sought that his father would bless him. He wanted his father to readjust things. But he never knew what it was to know that repentance that needeth not to be repented of. And Esau went on in his life. And when he came to his end, he returned to his own place. Those two brothers couldn't walk together, and sometimes this is so among brothers and sisters. But oh, what a mercy if we have been brought with Jacob to desire as he desired, if the Lord will be with me. You see, the Lord gave him that wondrous promise, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, and I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Can two walk together except they be agreed? But then we find in the Word of God the account of two sisters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. They had walked together in Moab. You see, the time came when the Lord began to deal with Ruth. Began to deal with her. And as he dealt with Naomi and with her husband and the husband of Orpah, those solemn things that took place in Moab, the Lord in his great mercy began to separate Ruth unto himself. And the time came when there was a solemn separating. They both love Naomi. We may naturally love our parents. We may naturally love dear ones. But oh, what a contrast there is between natural love and spiritual love. When there is that double bond. We know with Ruth and Orpah that the time came. They journeyed so far back with Naomi. They were both fond of her. And yet, there was a separation. And it was proved that they couldn't walk together. Orpah returned to her father's house and to her gods. But Ruth couldn't. Ruth couldn't return. But through God's mercy, she clave to Naomi. And though they two could walk together, We find how they, after this, how they came to Bethlehem together. How concerned they were together. How concerned Naomi was for her daughter-in-law. How concerned she was for her welfare. And how concerned Ruth was for Naomi's welfare. They could walk together. They were of one mind in the things of God. Their desires were one. We know also in the Word of God that it is, we find it recorded concerning David and Jonathan. You think of that household. You think of Saul. King Saul. What a solemn account that is. God gave him another heart so that he might fulfill those things that he had designed should be fulfilled through him, but he was never the subject of a new heart. And yet with Jonathan and David, their hearts were knit together. We read that their love surpassed the love of women, and they were agreed. They could walk together. They were of one mind. They were of one desire. Can two walk together except they be agreed? There's much in this that I have felt brought to my mind, but I do want the Lord to help me to bring out just that which might be used by him. But in that blessed account that we read this evening, we have a wonderful exposition of this text. Can two walk together except they be agreed? May the Lord help me just to bring a few things before you from that account in the 24th of Luke. Now those two were agreed. They were agreed first of all in their sorrow and in their disappointment. They were agreed together and they were brought into a very sad condition of heart and mind. Because we read, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. They had been in contact with Jesus Christ. And such was the effect of this, that they were in agreement in their sorrow. They were in agreement in their distress. What a mercy it is when there are those that meet together in God's house that are agreed in this. That come up to his house agreed in their disappointments and in their anxiety and in their distress of soul. What a mercy it is when there's an agreement in our gathering together with regard to our own secret exercises. I do not mean that we shall, from what we shall all walk the path that God has appointed for us, but what a mercy if we can come in with the hymn writer, Jesus, we come to meet with thee, our Lord and King, to bow before thy feet, to hear thy praises sing, compassion have on us, we pray, and empty send us not away. What a mercy where there is then an agreement in disappointment and in exercise, individually and collectively. These two disciples were in agreement as they commenced that journey on that Emmaus road. They were in agreement in their sorrow, in their distress, in their anxiety and in their disappointment. And yet, in this condition, and while they communed together and reasoned about those things that had happened. And I believe there are times in the experience of the Lord's people, I know it is so, when individually and collectively there is a talking over the things that have happened. Sometimes it is with husband and wife. There's a talking together at home. And then I believe that where there is a mutual exercise with husband and wife regarding things, and where there is a mutual exercise in the Church of God regarding the welfare of a cause, then I believe there will be a walking together, and there will be a talking of those things that have happened. Those things that have caused much anxiety. Those things that have caused much concern. But what a mercy if these things are brought before the Lord in prayer. What a mercy if there's a coming up to the house of God with an anxious concern that the Lord would speak and make the way plain. What a mercy where there is a collective concern that the Lord would speak. Great mercy in any cause of truth where this is known. Where there is a collective exercise regarding the welfare of the cause. Where there is a collective exercise regarding the fact of the great need of the Lord's blessing and presence. But while these things were going on in their heart, and while they were so concerned in those things that had taken place, and while they communed together and reasoned, you see, there are times in the experience of individuals, husband and wife, and in the Church of God, when there are those things that take place that cannot begin to be understood. And we may be left to carnal reasoning and to try and reason things out. To try and put things right in our minds. And yet what a mercy if we are brought off all this and are brought to the house of God with an anxious concern to know what the Lord would have us to do. What the Lord would say. What the Lord would speak about the matter. Oh, what a mercy for any cause of truth to be brought together. To collectively being able to use the prayer that Saul of Tarsus uttered as the Lord spoke to him from heaven. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt thou have us to do? But while they were in this condition, this sad state, some of you may be in deep distress in some matter. Some of you may be walking together, and mercy is a mercy if you are. Some of you may be walking alone and wondering where the scene will end. Wondering what the end of these things will be. But oh, may you be preserved from trying to reason things out or trying to put things right yourself. But I believe that these two, you see, the Lord knew. The Lord knew all about them. And the Lord knows all about you. The Lord knows all about your case. You may wonder if he does. The Lord knows the path that you're walking. The Lord knows perhaps the deep anxiety that's yours. The Lord knows perhaps the Lord knows the sleepless nights. The Lord knows the condition that you've been brought into, perhaps in your body, through the exercise that's upon you and through the distress. But while they commune together and reason, May this be your blessed portion, individually and collectively. May you prove still that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Their eyes were holden that they did not know him. They didn't begin to understand. But oh, they soon began to realize that this stranger, there was something about him that was indeed blessed. Their hearts began to burn within them while he talked with them by the way. Oh, what a favour it is to know this experience. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And I believe there will be a blessed agreement if the Lord Jesus draws near and goes with you. You will realise this. May this be your blessing here as a cause. May you be favoured with this. May you be favoured. I believe you have been. Oh, I felt last evening that this word was fulfilled. That Jesus himself drew near and went with us. That he was with us in the service last evening. Oh, I believe that when the Lord draws near, it's something that's felt. And then there's a blessed agreement in this, that the Lord's presence is felt. The Lord's presence is known by the experience of it. Oh, how vital for the health of the soul, individually, collectively, and in the Church of God, how vital it is to be agreed in this. And this is the one thing I believe that will keep a cause of truth together. It's to have Christ's presence in the midst. Now, my friends, may the Lord help you to pray for this above everything else. Because if you have the Lord's presence here, you will find that things will be worked out for you. You will find that things, those crooked things will be made straight. You will find that the rough places will be made plain. But this, oh, may you keep this in view. That you might and you will be, if you are indeed, when the Lord favours with his presence. Oh, how that helps. It is the only thing that will really help us to walk together. It is to have the Lord's presence. This will help us to overlook personalities. This will help us. We shall lose sight of personalities. We shall lose sight of those things that may be irksome one to another. Those things that may cause friction, and the great adversary of souls, he's very busy trying to get in his cloven foot between brethren. He makes use of many things to try and separate, to try and divide. Oh, he's been trying to do this down through the ages, and he's still doing it today. But oh, I would say this to you tonight. May you be helped to pray for the Lord's presence. May you be helped to pray that his word might have free course and be glorified among you. And oh, if the Lord comes, this will help you to continue. It is the only thing. If you are brought to agree as to the truth as it is in Jesus, this is the vital thing. This is the very seat of unity and blessing. I remember I've known those times when there has been difference in my own case with others. And I've known times when the Lord has come and blessed his word in his house, or perhaps in secret before him. And then, oh, how there's been such a desire that things might be made right, that things might be put right, that disagreements might be put right. Oh, I believe that this is the one needful thing wherein we shall be enabled. Then we shall seek for true peace and prosperity, to know this. Can two walk together except they be agreed? This is so vital, to be agreed as to the truth in its purity and blessedness, to be brought into agreement and to say, this is the gospel that we desire to have. This is the truth that we love. These are those things that we want to have and to cleave to. Then there will be a walking together. Then there will be an agreement. But how these two disciples were indeed in agreement in this, that they felt the sense of the presence of this stranger. They felt his presence. Their heart began to burn within them while he talked with them by the way, while he spoke to them. And such was the effect of this, that when we read that he made as though he would have gone further, the effect of his presence was such that it brought them to this: abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. Now I believe where Christ's presence is known and felt individually and collectively, there will be a united concern in this: Lord, abide with us. See, when the Lord goes from a place, everything's gone. You can have a chapel full of people, but if the Lord goes, you've lost everything. You've lost everything. And the Lord goes. And he's a jealous God. But there was indeed an agreement in this desire of these two. And I believe there are those here tonight that could honestly say, Lord, this is just what I feel to need. This is just what we want in our home, with our family. This is just what we want in our business, Lord. This is just what we want in the church of God. We want thee to abide with us. For it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And when the Lord causes a realization of these things, it will bring, I believe, this with it, that our time is short and that we are mortal and that we can soon be removed. And what a mercy to desire whilst we are here. What a mercy to desire that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What a mercy to desire that we might live each day as if it were our last. You see, the Lord removes, the Lord takes away. But can you not say this evening, this is your prayer? Abide with us, for it is toward evening. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And these two were agreed in this petition. These two were agreed in that they wanted the Lord to come in and tarry with them. They didn't want him to go. But then they were also in agreement as the Lord came in and did tarry with them. Oh, how they were in agreement with a felt sense of his presence and blessing as he took bread and brake it and gave to them. It's a wonderful favour when in the Church of God and again in individuals, it's a wonderful favour when there is a feeding of the soul through the Word. Not only to be favoured with his presence, but to be favoured with being fed. And one hymn writer has said, our strength will soon decrease unless our souls be fed. We feel our health and peace depends on living bread. Now what a mercy if you're in agreement over this. What a mercy if it's your collective, and may the Lord make it so, a collective desire still, and that he might increase it, that you might be fed. Might be fed through his word. And then you will be able to walk together. And especially if the Lord still grants you this blessing, when souls are fed and when they are enabled to speak of him, when they are enabled to declare that the Lord has fed their soul. But the time has gone this evening. Can two walk together except they be agreed? This is indeed vital for the health of the church. It is food naturally that is used to keep the body alive. Food is so necessary to the body naturally. If we cannot eat, we could not live. If we could not eat or drink, we should not live for long. And so it is spiritually. If there's to be a continuance, if there's to be blessing, then there is a needs be to be fed. If the Lord favours you to gather together collectively with this exercise in your hearts, then the Lord will appear for you. He will provide for you. How necessary it is for an agreement in these things. May the Lord add his blessing to these few remarks this evening. Amen.
The Lord wills to Tyler, the preacher, on Wednesday of next week. Let's close with hymn number 1082, June 228. How sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those that love the Lord and one another's peace delight and so fulfill his work.
canst bless thy own word, and yet, Lord, do favour thy people here and the causes round about and in Zion with a true exercise and concern first and foremost to have the Lord in the midst. We believe, Lord, that where this is lengthened out, there will be a continuation, and in this alone. And then we believe, Lord, where thou dost indeed feed the soul and bless, there will be a uniting. There will be an agreement. There will be a walking together. Oh, Lord, do in mercy then bless thy word, pardon our many sins, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.